Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning to all of my precious, and you are precious, to all of my precious brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. What a beautiful day today. It's bright and sunny. It's a little crisp. It's a little chilly, but it's a beautiful, beautiful Wednesday in the Lord. Well, I'm happy to be in studio to do this lesson on Romans 16. Let's open up our Bibles as we talk about the glorious Church of Rome. The glorious Church of Rome. Glorious in Christ. Glorious in the Holy Spirit. Glorious in God the Father. Not glorious in herself. No. She derives her glory from the Lord. The glorious Church of Rome. Romans chapter 16, starting at verse 1. I have selected an audio version of the Bible that doesn't give us the music in the background. I kind of find that distracting. I love the reading. I love the way the persons assigned to read do the reading. What gets a little distracting for me and is just the heavy music in the background sometimes. So I selected an audio that just has the reader, and I hope that will help us today.
Romans chapter 16. I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Cenchrea, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and assist her in whatever business she has need of you, for indeed she has been a helper of many, and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Greet my beloved Epaenetus, who is of the first fruits of Achaia to Christ.
So we're looking at this verse that says, portion of the text that says, salute my beloved Epaenetus, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Let's pray. Dear God and Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and we praise your name, and we look so forward to this study. There's so much in the text, so much you want to say to us, so much you want us to learn. And Father, we are excited about learning because we are disciples of Christ. We are ever learning. We're always learning. We have a desire and a hunger to learn because when one learns, one grows. And we want to grow in the things of God. And we want the Word of God to change our hearts and to change our thinking and to change our way of living. So, Holy Spirit, have your way with us today. We yield this morning to you yet again. We're yielding to you every hour. We're saying, take over, Holy Spirit. We say like Jesus said in Gethsemane, not my will, but thy will be done, O Father. So we yield. Bless our efforts today as we go out and about doing the things that you have so scheduled for us. May we be a light in the midst of darkness. May we be a witness to all who need you. May we lead someone to Christ today, we pray. And we pray that you would pour out your Spirit upon St. Johnsville and the surrounding areas. That we may say, like the elder's wife in the 13th chapter of Finney's book, oh, Mr. Finney, there is a great cloud of mercy hanging over us, and there will be such a display of God's grace as we have never seen before. Oh, from her mouth to God's ears. Bless us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I got to tell you, that Finney book, every chapter, like I was saying last night, I loved Cracker Jacks. And, of course, who doesn't love the candy-coated popcorn, the peanut, and the prize? Remember the jingle? Candy-coated popcorn, peanut, and a prize. That's what you get with Cracker Jacks. And they had me hooked because anytime you give me anything that's candy-coated, that's it. That's the bait. But there was always a prize. And who didn't like the crunchy peanuts? So the prize, every time I read Finney's book, every time I read the assigned chapter, and I hope you have your schedule and I hope you're reading your assigned chapters, I look for the prize. Because every chapter to me is like a box of Cracker Jacks. And when I read the 13th chapter, I said, what that lady said there is the prize for me. Now, someone else may have found something else in that chapter that talked to them and ministered to them, but that for me was the prize. Well, we're looking at this young man, Epaenetus, whose name means laudable, worthy of praise, or praiseworthy. Paul says, I want you to greet him, hug him for me, kiss him for me. Why? Because I want you to know, and I want it to be registered as an eternal witness, that he is the first fruits. Well, what is first fruits? What is the first fruits? Well, it's a farming term that the apostle adopts. He uses it as a metaphor. Paul's day, the main industry was agriculture. And the whole world, the whole globe, depended upon seed time and harvest. And in fact, when you read the Bible, in so many places it talks about seed time and harvest, how God will bless our seed time and harvest. He'll bless our seed time by giving us enough people to sow the seeds. And he'll bless our harvest by causing the crops to grow and giving us enough people to collect the harvest or gather the harvest before the harvest rots and goes to waste. In a spiritual sense, Jesus said, look, my disciples, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers to collect the harvest are few. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. So here Paul uses an agricultural term, first fruits, to describe this man. This man whom Paul says, not only do I love him, but there's a deep connection there. He is dearly beloved to me. He is specially loved of me. He is the well-beloved, not just beloved, but the well-beloved. So why is he the well-beloved? Because he was the first convert. He was the first fruit. You know, the first fruit, and you, if you're taking notes, the first fruits is the first convert of a God-promised harvest. I've been expecting a harvest in St. Johnsville since we started to pray in January. I've been waiting for the harvest. And we've been sowing seeds, and the seeds is prayer. And we've been watering the harvest, and we've been watering the harvest through prayer. Listen, saints, we have not done door-to-door witnessing. We have not knocked on doors. We have not given out tracts. We haven't done any of that yet. And some would call that seed sowing, and that is seed sowing. But I've been around long enough in the things of God to know that you can sow those seeds. You can knock on doors and you can give out tracts as much as you want. And you can have evangelistic crusades as much as you want. But if that is not first seeded with prayer, all of your efforts will be for naught. So since January, we've been seeding St. Johnsville only with prayer. That's it. We've been turning over the ground, making it adaptable for seed sowing when we do start knocking on doors and we do start witnessing. So all we've been doing is praying because God has promised us an immense harvest. So Paul says, salute him. He is the first fruits of Archaea unto Christ. So let's look at this term, first fruits, and let's see if we can document when this conversion happened. Now, the key is the region of Archaea. Archaea, okay. Archaea was a Roman territory that included Peloponnesus and Corinth. There were two tracts of land, two large tracts of land that belonged to this particular territory. One part was Peloponnesus, and the other was Corinth. Corinth was the major and most important tract of land in this Roman territory. So whenever you said Archaea, people were saying, he's referring to Corinth. Corinth and Archaea were synonymous. So if you recall, and you may want to go with me to 1 Corinthians 18. Acts 18. There is no 1 Corinthians 18. Let's go to Acts 18. In Acts 18:9, and it would be good for you to follow along with me in reading, Paul was depressed. He was shaken, he was afraid, and as a result, Jesus, our Lord, felt the need to appear to Paul in a vision. So we pick it up in Acts 18. This is where Paul first met Aquila and Priscilla, his co-laborers in the gospel, and he began to preach. But there was so much opposition, so much of the enemy's attack upon the ministry of Paul that his life was in danger, and he felt that he was not going to get any result in Corinth. Well, lo and behold, Jesus appears to him in verse 9. Then spake the Lord, that's Jesus, to Paul in the night by a vision and said, be not afraid, but speak. Hold not thy peace, for I, Paul, am with thee, and no man shall hurt thee, for I have much people in this city, the city of Corinth. And the city of Corinth, again, is Achaia. I have much people in this city. Don't leave the city. Don't run away from the city. I brought you here. Yes, there's opposition, and the opposition is heated, and the opposition is tough, and they're dogged, and they're militant. And yes, they would like to kill you and end your existence, but I am with you. No man shall hurt you. Keep preaching. Don't stop preaching. Preach day and night, for I have much people in this city. In other words, there's a great harvest of souls in this city. So a first fruits, when we refer to a person as the first fruits, we're saying this is the first convert of a God-promised harvest, or this is the first convert of a revival. That's what we say when we dub someone a first fruits. So Paul says, this brother is special to me. Epaphroditus is special to me because he was my first convert. He was the first supernatural sign that God was going to give me a revival in Corinth. And because he was the first one to be saved, God encouraged me through his saving. Because the other thing about first fruits is this. First fruits is not the last fruits. First fruits means that bunches of conversions are coming. You look at our farmers today up there in the St. Johnsville region, you drive a few minutes out of the village into the country, and you see all that corn, and you just see the farmer got one ear of corn, but that's just the first fruit. Look at the acres and acres and acres and acres of corn. It's just the first, just one ear of corn. Please, that's just the beginning of the revival. That's just the beginning of the harvest. So Paul says, I love him so much because he means so much to me. When I was depressed, down and out, when I thought I would have no success in Corinth, God gave me a token conversion. He's the one. He's the first one God touched. He's the first one God saved and truly saved. He's the first one. So, now, if you go with me to 1 Corinthians, let's go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Because I don't want you to think that Paul has contradicted himself or that Paul's memory is not good. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 15, I beseech you, he's writing to the saints at Corinth, the saints to whom became that great harvest. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. So there seems to be like a little contradiction here, because wait a minute, in one place Paul says that Epaphroditus is the first fruits, but here he says the house of Stephanas. Well, it's easy. There's no contradiction. Epaphroditus is the first saint by himself to get saved. the household of Stephanas, or the house of Stephanas, is the first family in its entirety to get saved. So what God was saying to Paul is, not only am I going to give you a harvest of individuals getting saved, but also I'm going to give you a harvest of families that are getting saved. Now, another way of looking at this is that, and this is the way I see it in the text, that Epaphras is a member of the house, of the family of Stephanas. He's a member. He just happened to be the first family member to get saved, which happened to be Paul's first convert. And then after he got saved, he led his father, Stephanas, his mother, and his brothers and sisters to Christ. So notice, my dear brothers and sisters, Paul always records first fruits. Why does he document first fruits? Because he wants to encourage those of us who labor in the Lord, that although things may seem tough and you see no evidence of a revival coming, keep at it, because soon and very soon, God will give you one person, one first convert, that'll be your first fruits. And whenever you have a first fruits, know that the harvest, the major harvest, the majority of the souls, the families that will be saved, the hardened sinners that will be brought to Christ are soon to follow. Soon to follow. On Tuesday, October the 4th, I received a phone call while I was at home. And there was a young man on the line and says, I need to speak to someone. I'm in trouble. So I ran to the church. And I called Brother Sterling as I was on my way to the church. I said, Brother Sterling, can you meet me at the church? And he was unable to because he was taking care of some family business. So the next person I called was Sister Linda, Linda Hart. I said, Sister Linda, are you available? She said, yes, Pat. I said, come on over. I got a young man's in deep trouble in the church, and I want you and I to pray for him, and let's see what the Lord will do. Well, to make a long story short, John poured out his heart, and he confessed his sins, and we led him to Christ. And so after we led him to Christ and after we encouraged him, I said, now I'm going to give you a nickname. And I said, I'm going to call you First Fruits John. And that's what I call him. Every time I see him, I say, hey, First Fruits John, how you doing? And I dubbed him that because he's the first person at Grace Church, and Sister Linda Hart can attest to this, whom we really saw the Spirit of God breaking down, so much so that he was crying uncontrollably. It's what the Bible calls godly sorrow. You know, without godly sorrow, no one comes to Christ. No one. The only one who can produce godly sorrow is the Holy Spirit working in the heart. So he's a true convert. He's the first fruits of our church this year. Now, look at the text. Let's go back to Romans. Let's go back to Romans chapter 16 because we're not done yet. Romans 16. He's the first fruits. Go back. Let's read. He is the first fruits unto Christ. You see, he says, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Listen, John did not become unto grace when the Lord saved him, when he gave his heart to the Lord that day, when he said the sinner's prayer and he received Christ in his heart. He didn't come unto grace. Now, he was at grace, and two of us from grace led him to Christ, but he didn't join grace. He was added unto the Lord. He was added unto Christ. He belongs to Christ. And whenever there's a true revival, Yes, it may be the Methodist church involved. There may be the Reformed church involved. There may be the Presbyterian church involved. But when people come to Christ in those meetings, they're not coming unto the church. They are coming unto Christ. They're being joined to Christ. For it was Jesus who said to Paul, "Fear not, continue preaching, for I have much people in this city." You see, the people belong to Jesus. He purchased them with his blood. The church has nothing, there's nothing we can offer to God to redeem a sinner. There's nothing. You cannot be redeemed with money. You can't be redeemed. Peter says in his first epistle, we were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. To redeem means to be bought back from the slave market, the slavery of sin. Jesus paid the price. He shed his blood. He has redeemed us with his precious blood. So they are redeemed unto Christ. Now, John is under our care. And we shall shepherd him, and we shall advise him, and we shall watch over him, and we shall feed him, and we shall pray for and with him. But he's been added unto Christ. Anyone who was saved at the Church of Rome was added unto Christ. Anyone who was saved at the Church of Ephesus was added unto Christ. Every member of Grace Church, who is a member of Grace Church, is really a member of Christ. Christ is your Lord and Savior. Grace is your local church. We can't confuse the two. And because you were saved and brought unto Christ, he is your ultimate shepherd. He is your ultimate friend. He is your ultimate caretaker. So, we rejoice with the Apostle Paul, because like Paul, we too at Grace now have our own very first fruits. That'll do it for today, saints. God bless you. Love you much, and we'll be right back here tomorrow. I leave you again with the old-fashioned Revival Hour Quartet.
Beyond the sunset, O blissful morning, when with our Savior hell is begun, earth's toiling ended, O glorious dawning, beyond the sunset, when day beyond the sunset, no clouds will gather, no storms will threaten, no fears anymore. O day of gladness, O day of ending, beyond the sunset, in that fair home.